This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala thumma amma ba'd. To proceed, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad said, Babu inna kulla ma'rufin sadaqa. Chapter, every act of goodness is charity. He said, حدثنا علي بن عياش قال حدثنا أبو غسان قال حدثني محمد بن المنكدر عن جابر بن عبد الله عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كل معروف صدقة. جابر بن عبد الله said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, every act of goodness is charity. قال حدثنا آدم بن أبي إياس قال حدثنا شعبة قال حدثني سعيد بن أبي بردة ابن أبي موسى عن أبيه عن جده قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على كل مسلم صدقة. قالوا فإن لم يجد قال فيعتمل بيديه فينفع نفسه ويتصدق. قالوا فإن لم يستطع أو لم يفعل قال فيعين ذا الحاجة الملهوف. قالوا فإن لم يفعل قال فيأمر بالخير أو يأمر بالمعروف. قالوا فإن لم يفعل قال فيمسك عن الشر فإنه له صدقة. أبو موسى said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said on every Muslim there is charity. They asked, what if he can't afford it? He said, let him work with his hands and benefit himself and give charity. They said, what if he cannot do that or doesn't do it? He said, then let him assist someone in need, eager for assistance. Malhoof, eager for assistance. They said, what if he cannot do that? He said, let him command what is good. They said, what if he cannot do that? He said, let him refrain from evil, for that is charity on his behalf. For that is charity on his behalf. We've gone over this hadith before, remember? But maybe the points that I wanted to just bring back to your attention is how the Prophet ﷺ expanded the concept of charity. It's goodness in general. It is being good to God's creation in general, including yourself. So you can be charitable towards yourself, charitable towards the creations of God. And I have in the past said that sometimes emotional and psychological charity could be more meaningful than monetary charity. To share some of your time, to share some of your jah or position or status, use it in the service of people. Share some of your time. Sit down with like an elderly man in the masjid, you know, who wants to talk or chat about some of his issues or grievances or difficulties, or to your spouse, or to your parents, or to anyone. That could actually be even more meaningful than spending from your money. Spend from your time, to spend from your psychological reserve, from your emotional reserve, to try to comfort people when you yourself are worried. These are more charitable than monetary charity. These acts are more charitable than monetary charity. So the Prophet wanted to expand the concept. And notice when they say to the Prophet, what if he can't do or he doesn't do it? He doesn't say, well, why can't he do it? But he opens another door, and he opens another door, and he opens another door, as if the doors to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not end. And the final door that he opened is, just stay away from evil. That's charity. Stay away from evil. That's evil. That's charity. فَيَعْتَمِلْ بِيَدَيْهِ فَيَنْفَعْ نَفْسَهُ وَيَتَصَدَّقْ. So he should work with his hands to benefit himself and to be charitable. I was sitting with someone in Minnesota many years ago, 15, 20 years ago. I was talking to him about how, you know, Muslims, this concept, you know, some of these concepts, some of these Islamic concepts about self-dependence and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not begging or asking. And he said, but that's not, you know, the impression that people have, given the number of Muslims on the welfare system. That is not the impression that other people, he was not Muslim. He said this. But at any rate, whether he was right or wrong, We should be committed to this ourselves as Muslims. You should not be on the welfare system unless you truly need to be. If you don't have money to give charity, go out and work with your hands. Work with your hands. Whatever it is, whatever degrees you have, there will be something to do. يعتمل بيديه فينفع نفسه ويتصدق. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. So work with your hands and suffice yourself, your family, and give charity. Then حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا يحيى عن هشام بن عروة قال حدثني أبي أن أبا مراوح الغفاري أخبره أن أبا ذر أخبره أنه سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أفضل؟ قال إيمان بالله وجهاد في سبيله. قال فأي الرقاب أفضل؟ قال أغلاها ثمنا وأنفسها عند أهلها. قال أرأيت إن لم أفعل؟ قال تعين ضائعا أو صانعا أو تصنع لأخرق. قال أرأيت إن لم أفعل؟ قال تدع الناس من الشر فإنها صدقة تصدق بها عن نفسك. أبو ذر رضي الله عنه said, I asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, which deed is best? He replied, faith in Allah and striving in His cause. I asked which slaves are most virtuous or to free. He said, those with the highest price and most precious or beneficial to their owners. Because if you're most precious or beneficial to your owners, you are the type of person that should be emancipated because you are the person who can fend for themselves. I asked, what if I can't do that? He said, help a craftsman or someone in need. ضيع, someone not on top of his act. ضائع, someone who's not on top of his act. Or someone who's lost. And صانع is someone who is like a craftsman, crafty person. And we said that, you know, most of the oral tradition has been صانع. Most of the oral tradition has been صانع. تعين صانع, to assist a craftsman or a crafty person. Because there is always room for their business to grow. You tell them, how can I help you grow your business? And then he said, I asked, what if I can't do that? He said, refrain from harming others. for, you know, so you assist the craftsman or someone who's in, or you assist someone who's incompetent. He said, like, what if I can't? He said, refrain from harming others. For that's charity you give to yourself. That's the least you should do. That's the least you can do. That's the least you should do. قال حدثنا أبو النعمان قال حدثني مهدي بن ميمون عن واصل مولى أبي عيينة عن يحيى بن عقيل عن يحيى بن يعمر عن أبي أسود الديلي عن أبي ذر قال قيل يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم قال أليس قد جعل الله لكم ما تصدقون إن بكل تسبيحة وتحميدة صدقة وبضع أحدكم صدقة قيل في شهوته صدقة قال لو وضع في الحرام أليس كان عليه وزر كذلك إن وضعها في الحلال كان له أجر أبو ذر said The people said O Messenger of Allah The wealthy have taken all the reward They pray as we pray Fast as we fast And give charity from the excess of their wealth He said, has Allah not made for you what you can give in charity? Every tasbihah, saying subhanallah, is charity. Every tahmida, saying alhamdulillah, is charity. And fulfilling one's desire lawfully is charity. They asked, is there a reward even for satisfying our desires? He replied, if he placed it in that which is unlawful, would he not incur sin? So likewise, if he places it in something lawful, he will be rewarded. And that is the fairness and the symmetry. Fairness and the symmetry of the Sharia. If you are rewarded when you basically fulfill your lust in a haram way, unlawfully, if you be punished, if you fulfill your lust in a haram way, you'll be rewarded if you do it in a halal way. Then Imam Bukhari said, Babu Imatat al-Adha, chapter Removing Harm from the Pathway. قال حدثنا أبو عاصم عن أبان بن الصمعة عن أبي الوازع جابر عن أبي برزة الأسلمي قال قلت يا رسول الله دلني على عمل يدخلني الجنة قال أمت الأذى عن طريق الناس. أبو برزة الأسلمي said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, guide me to an action that will admit me to paradise. He replied, remove harm from the people's pathway. Environmentalists and people who are concerned about the environment, you can really find a treasure in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when it comes to protection of the environment. When he says that عُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ حَسَنَاتُ أُمَّتِي وَسَيَّاتُ that the حَسَنَاتْ and مَسَيَّاتْ of my ummah were shown to me, and he found that of the حَسَنَاتْ of his ummah is to remove harm from the pathway, and from the sayyat of the ummah is someone spits in the masjid and does not bury it. Of course, the masjid during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, you could bury things. And many other things, taking care of water resources, not causing najasa in water resources, and things of that nature. There are so many ahadith. It's a genre of ahadith about the protection of environment in general. Certainly, as Muslims, we are bound by the moderation of Islam. So, as a Muslim, you can't be. You have to prioritize your Islamism, your Islam, over anything else, and you have to make sure that you are bound by the guidelines of Islam. Whatever other noble cause you espouse, you endorse, you support, make sure that this is coming as a secondary commitment to your primary commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is social justice, whether it is environmentalism, whether it is whatever it is, whatever cause, conservatism, whatever cause you take, just make sure it is subsidiary to your first commitment, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your first commitment to the deen that His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us. And make that your measuring stick. Because when people hang out with certain groups, they become affected by those groups. You become affected. You have to continuously recalibrate. Calibrate your thoughts, calibrate your convictions, calibrate your practices to be consistent with and in conformity with your deen, because that's the ultimate guidance. And certainly, the definitive parts of the deen. The speculative will be included in this, but there is a difference between definitive and speculative. You can't be certain except about that which is definitive. Then another hadith here about the removing harm. He said, حدثنا موسى قال حدثني وهيب عن سهيل عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مر رجل مسلم بشوك في الطريق فقال لأميطن هذا الشوك لا يضر رجلا مسلما فغفر له. Abu Huraira reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, a Muslim man passed by a thorn or thorns on the road and said, I will surely remove these thorns or this thorn so that it does not harm a Muslim. For this he was forgiven. قال حدثنا مسلم قال حدثنا مهدي عن واصل عن يحيى بن عقيل عن يحيى بن يعمر عن أبي الأسود الديلي عن أبي ذر قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عرضت علي أعمال أمتي حسنها وسيئها فوجدت في محاسن أعمالها أن الأذى يماط عن الطريق ووجدت في مساوي أعمالها النخاعة في المسجد لا تدفن. Abu Dharr reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the deeds of my nation were presented to me, both their good and bad. Among their good deeds, I found the removal of harm from the path, and among their bad deeds, I found spitting in the masjid without burying it. All of this is about protecting the environment. You want to be good to Allah and His creation, and among the creations of Allah, this planet that we live on, we are responsible for it. وَأَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا. استعمركم فيها means what? استعمركم فيها. How do you translate that? People say, you know, like if you want to be sort of too flexible about it, you know, build civilizations and stuff like this and on Earth, create civilization, huh? Commissioned, استعمر. استعمر من العمارة, تعمر. So, you know, they must have translated a certain way. So he brought you forth from, Saleh said to his people, Thamud, he brought you forth from the earth. So the earth is your mother to a great extent. You were created from the soil of the earth. He brought you forth, and شَأَكُم مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, he brought you forth from the earth. وَاسْتَعْمَرَكُمْ فِيهَا, and made you to inhabit it, made you to settle. There is no way that you can have a good translation for this. Because استعمركم means asked you to عمروها, not simply to settle. So I would here try to be flexible and say build civilizations. Because عمارة, you know, when we talk, sometimes عمارة is translated as architecture. عمارة is to make your city thrive and progress and develop. It's development, it's progress, it's thriving of your city. مدينة عامرة, a city that is thriving, developed. Right? Okay. So if Allah أنشأنا من الأرض, if Allah brought us forth from the soil of this planet and asked us, نعمرها, make it thrive, develop, to develop it. Yeah, because develop it, good word, develop it. Then we certainly have a responsibility towards the planet, Then the Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, بَابُ قَوْلِ الْمَعْرُوفِ, chapter, words of kindness. حدثنا بشر بن محمد قال أخبرنا عبد الله قال أخبرنا عبد الجبار بن عباس الحمداني عن عدي بن ثابت عن عبد الله بن يزيد الخطمي قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل معروف صدق. عبد الله بن يزيد الخطمي reported that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said every act of kindness is charity. قال حدثنا سعيد بن سليمان قال حدثنا مبارك عن ثابت عن أنس قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتي بالشيء يقول اذهبوا به إلى فلانة فإنها كانت صديقة خديجة, اذهبوا به إلى بيت فلانة فإنها كانت تحب خديجة. Anas said whenever the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was brought something, he would say take this to so and so, for she was a friend of خديجة. Take this to the house of so and so, for she used to love خديجة. So the commitment of the Prophet ﷺ to Khadija, the commitment to his, you know, wife, deceased wife, was certainly amazing. That he continued to be kind to the relatives and the friends of Khadija for the rest of his life. So not only a commitment to his spouse, but a commitment to the ones who loved her, who are friends, her relatives. And this shows a great deal of ma'ruf and gratefulness. Then he said, قال حدثنا محمد بن كثير قال أخبرنا سفيان عن أبي مالك الأشجعي عن ربعي عن حذيفة قال قال نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم كل معروف صدقة. حذيفة reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said every act of kindness is a charity. You see the repetition here, we're talking about the mutawatir, mass transmitted. So the repetition can be in wording and in meaning, and certainly the repetition in wording is few. Like there are few hadith that are mutawatir bil ma'na, but mutawatir bil mabna bil lafz, But tawatur bil-ma'na, you know, the recurrent, mass transmitted, the hadith, and recurrent in meaning are so many. So this concept is mass transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next he said, and we will probably try to end with this hadith because it's a longer hadith. Or maybe we'll just take this chapter and stop after this chapter. So this hadith, the chapter has only two hadith. قال باب الخروج إلى المبقلة وحمل الشيء على عاتقه إلى أهله بالزبيل. Chapter on going to the garden and carrying provisions on one's shoulder in a basket. So he will basically talk about how Salman radiallahu anhu. Salman was the emir, like after, you know, they opened the Madain, so he was hired as the emir. So these are the lands of Kisra, and look at how Kisra used to be like. You know, imagine Kisra, imagine the palace of Kisra, imagine the prestige and the, you know, of Kisra and the environment that he surrounded himself with. And now Salman comes and, you know, to take over this land, but the transformation that happened, and that's why people converted in masses. That's why people converted to Islam, because there was these, they've seen a remarkable difference. So he's going to tell us about the hadith where Salman radiallahu anhu used to go out to the garden to collect vegetables, put them in the basket, and carry it on his shoulder with his staff looped, you know, or basically going through the loops of the basket, the handle, looped through the handles of the basket, looped through. You see, it's like, you see, like, you know, I'm not good at drawing, you know me. But to carry a staff like this, and then, yeah, so this is the basket here, and to carry the staff on your shoulder. And so this is the way how peasants used to carry peasants. Up until now in Muslim countries, like, you know, peasants, they carry their basket like this. You put the staff through the handle of the basket and you carry it on your shoulder. So this is what Salman was doing. الخروج إلى المبقلة وحمل الشيء على عاتقه إلى أهله بالزبيل. Going to the garden and carrying provisions on one's shoulder in a basket. He said, حدثنا إسحاق, and I'll read it quickly in Arabic because, you know, part of the إجازة is that everything has to be certainly read in Arabic. So باب الخروج إلى المبقلة وحمل الشيء على عاتقه إلى أهله بالزبيل. قال حدثنا إسحاق بن مخلد عن حماد بن أسامة عن مسعر قال حدثنا عمر بن قيس عن عمر بن أبي قرة الكندي قال عرض أبي على سلمان أخته فأبى وتزوج مولاة له يقال لها بقيرة. فبلغ أبا قرة أنه كان بين حذيفة وسلمان شيء فأتاه يطلبه فأخبر أنه في مبقلة له فتوجه إليه فلقيه معه زبيل فيه بقل قد أدخل عصاه في عروة الزبيل وهو على عاتقه. فقال يا أبا عبد الله ما كان بينك وبين حذيفة؟ قال يقول سلمان وكان الإنسان عجولا. فانطلق حتى أتى دار سلمان فدخل سلمان الدار فقال السلام عليكم ثم أذن لأبي قرة فدخل فإذا نمط موضوع على باب وعند رأسه لبنات وإذا قرطات فقال اجلس على فراش مولاتك التي تمهد لنفسها. ثم أنشأ يحدثه فقال إن حذيفة كان يحدث بأشياء كان يقولها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غضبه لأقوام فأسأل عنها فأقول حذيفة أعلم بما يقول وأكره أن تكون ضغائن بين أقوام. فأتي حذيفة فقيل له إن سلمان لا يصدقك ولا يكذبك بما تقول. فجاءني حذيفة فقال يا سلمان ابن أمي سلمان. فقلت يا حذيفة ابن أمي حذيفة لتنتهين أو لأكتبن فيك إلى عمر. فلما خوفته بعمر تركني وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من ولدي آدم أنا فأيما عبد من أمتي لعنته لعنة أو سببته سبة في غير كنهه فاجعلها عليه صلاة. Chapter, go into the garden. Okay, so Amr ibn Abi Qurra al-Kindi reported, my father offered his sister in marriage to Salman. My father offered his sister in marriage to Salman, but he refused and instead married one of his freed women, emancipated slaves, Mawlah Lahu, his emancipated slaves. You know how the Prophet ﷺ said that two people were given the reward twice, will have the reward doubled? Someone who had a slave, emancipated her and married her, will have his reward doubled. So Salman refused the sister of Abu Qurra, and he married his emancipated slave. So he married his emancipated slave, and then her name was Buqayra. News reached Abu Qurra that there had been a matter between Hudhaifa and Salman. So Abu Qurra is a Sahabi, Salman is a Sahabi, Hudhaifa is a Sahabi. So Abu Qurra offered his sister to Salman. Salman refused and married another woman, his emancipated slave. Abu Qurra heard that there is something, a dispute between Salman and Hudhaifa. And so he didn't hold any grudges because his, you know, Salman refused to marry his sister. But he wanted to reconcile between Salman and Hudhaifa. So he went to Salman to reconcile. So he went to Salman to reconcile. News reached Abu Qurra that there had been a matter, like a dispute between Hudhaifa and Salman. So he went to seek him out. He was told that Salman was at his vegetable garden. When he approached, he found Salman carrying a basket of greens with his staff looped through its handle and resting on his shoulder. Abu Qurra asked him, "What is the matter between you and Hudhaifa? What is the matter between you and Hudhaifa?" Salman replied by reciting the verse, "Indeed, humankind is ever hasty." كان الإنسان عجولا. And then they then went to Salman he did not mean to not tell him, but he meant, let's walk home and then we can sit down and chat. You know, I am carrying this basket on my shoulder. You know, it's not the best time to tell you about my dispute with Hudhaifa. So he basically hinted to him by, reciting this verse or quoting this verse that we should probably go home and talk. They then went to Salman's house. they went to Salman's house, where Salman entered, greeted the household with salam, and permitted Abu Qurra. So certainly the owner of the house should enter first. And then when you knock on people's doors, adab al-istidhan is a completely different thing that we will talk about. When you knock on people's doors, don't stand facing the door. You stand like this. Your side should be to the door. You don't stand facing the door. Why? حتى لا تنكشف لك عورة لا يحب أهل البيت أن تراها. So that you don't look at something that the people of the household would not desire you to see. You know, give them a chance, stand like this, and if they let you in, come in. But when you knock on the door, you knock, and then you turn to your side, and then let them let you in, let your eyesight in. Let them permit your eyesight in before you permit your eyesight in yourself. Because when you do this and they open the door, you have let your eyesight come in before their permission. Is that okay? We need to learn these things. You youth born here and born in the West have an opportunity to get the good of both worlds. So don't be the worst losers ever by sort of getting the bad of both worlds, because that will be a huge loss. You have an opportunity to get the good of both worlds. Anyway, there is so much good here, by the way. So they came in. Huzaifa would narrate things. So they came in. And then they went to Salman's house, or Salman entered, greeted with salam, and permitted Abu Qurra to enter inside. There was a mat laid on the ground, and a simple curtain. So he said, sit on the bedding of your lady. Who said that? Salman said that. It's not clear in the hadith. Sit on the bedding of your lady, or your mawlat, your emancipated slave, or the emancipated slave, the mawla. Who's saying that? Which she prepares for herself. I mean, Salman would be the one to tell Abu Qurra to sit, but why is Salman telling Abu Qurra your mawla that she prepared for herself? And why would a husband tell a guest to sit on the bedding of his wife? It doesn't make sense. So we'll presume that this was Abu Qurra saying to Salman, sit on the bedding of your lady that you favored over my sister. Salman then explained what's happening between him and Hudhaifa. Salman said, Hudhaifa would narrate things that the Prophet ﷺ said in anger against certain people. Then people would come to me. By the way, when I talked about the good of both worlds, all the good is inside Islam. I'm talking about, you know, Muslim countries and non-Muslim countries and the West. When it comes to Islam itself, all the good is contained within Islam. What you're learning, the good that you're learning here is all in Islam. It may be practiced better here than it is practiced in Muslim countries, but it is all in Islam, just to be clear on this. So we're not comparing two systems, we're comparing two populations, but Islam itself is certainly the ultimate goodness. Going back. So Salman said to them, Hudhaifa, the reason why there is this dispute between me and Hudhaifa is that Hudhaifa would narrate things that the Prophet ﷺ said in anger against certain people. Then people would come to me asking about it. I would say, Hudhaifa knows best about what he narrates. I would say, Hudhaifa, and look at the etiquette of the Sahaba, look, very refined, very sort of poised and refined people. So he doesn't want to contribute to this. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like when Hudhaifa, and certainly there were people of this opinion, that not everything you heard from the Prophet ﷺ you should relate. Because sometimes, you know, when the Prophet talks about certain tribes or certain people in a state of anger, Hudhaifa feels it's not conducive to, you know, harmony and reconciliation and all of that stuff. And the Prophet ﷺ, as we will come to see in the, as Salman said, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, I am from the descendants of Adam. So if I ever curse or insult any servant of my community, from my community, unjustly, let it, O my Lord, become a mercy and blessing for them. Let it, O my Lord, become a mercy and blessing for them. So the Prophet ﷺ said about Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet called Muawiyah radiallahu anhu to come and write for him because he used to be one of the scribes of the Prophet ﷺ. And then Muawiyah was eating and he kept saying that he was eating. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Asba'allahu batnahu," may he never get satisfied or full or, you know, because he got upset with him. For the delay. Some of the narrators of ahadith included this fi manaqib Muawiyah. They included this in the virtues of Muawiyah. How? Because of this hadith. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, I am from, and others like it. I am from the descendants of Adam. So if I ever curse or insult any servant of my community unjustly, let it become a mercy and blessing for them. But anyway, whatever that means, Salman was saying is that Hudhaifah is relating reports from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that should not be basically shared with others because they cause disharmony and resentment, you know, among tribes and different nations and so on. So he would say, he would not say, you know, Hudhaifah doesn't know what he's saying, but he would decline to corroborate Hudhaifah. Decline to corroborate. Well, Hudhaifah knows what he's talking about. It's not my business. Then, so the students of knowledge like to do this. Like, so there are some students of knowledge who have like some like deep-rooted satanic qualities. They like to run between different mashayikh, and then they say to the sheikh, you know, this sheikh, you know, sheikh so-and-so said such and such. What's your response? As if really they are seeking knowledge, like they're trying to sort of expand their horizons, which is usually untrue. But then, so they would go to Hudhaifah and say to him this. They would go to Hudhaifah and say to him. Later, Hudhaifah was told by them that Salman neither affirmed nor denied your report. لم يصدقك ولم يكذبك. Salman did not affirm or deny your report. Is that offensive? Hudhaifah is katim sirr Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hudhaifah is, you know, not any other sahabi. Of course, all the sahaba are here, but Hudhaifah, not certainly like Abdullah bin Mas'ud in his fiqh, but one of the greatest sahaba. Hudhaifah is one of the greatest sahaba. So would he not be offended by this? He would be offended by this. Like he doesn't, you know, it's like, you know, the people of the book, you know, don't believe them, don't, you know, deny them, don't believe them. So Hudhaifah felt resentment. And then Hudhaifah came to Salman and he said to him, and see how he was very angry. He said to him, O Salman, son of Umm Salman. Keep in mind that this is the tazghir, diminution, you know, diminutive form of, you know, Salman, son of Umm Salman. Of course, this, you know, don't go far to think that this is like, you know, attributing him to his mother. This is not that type of thing. But he's trying to like rebuke him. Like an older, when you say to an older man, you're a son of like Umm Fulan, and this is how people usually talk about kids, you know, son of this lady or son of that. So this is how people talk about children. So he said to him, O Salman, son of Umm Salman. And then Salman said to him, O Hudhaifah, son of Umm Hudhaifah. Yeah. So it's equal retribution. So either you stop or I will write to Umar. Either you stop or I will write to Umar about you. When I warned him with Umar, he left me and he quit. And he quit. So certainly Umar had a hayba and Umar was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And Umar did not like when people basically relate everything they heard. And he used to be very conservative with this. And he used to want to ascertain and verify that this comes from the Prophet. We know his story with multiple Sahaba. We know his story with Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. So he didn't want people to be relating everything they heard because that may result in relating also things that are mutawaham. You know, that are, that they, imprecisely relating stuff from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Then Salman added, the Prophet ﷺ said, I am from the descendants of Adam, so if I ever curse or insult any servant of my community unjustly, let it become a mercy and blessing for them. Let it become a mercy and blessing for them. So this is a beautiful hadith, and it shows us the etiquettes of the Sahaba, and it teaches us about a few things also. You should never be going around telling the mashayikh, this sheikh says this and that sheikh says that, to cause resentment between the mashayikh. You should always try to be, to control your vernacular, to improve, refine your vernacular. This is what they said when they got angry. Nothing is obscene. Nothing is too aggressive. But people get angry. And this is how the Sahaba behaved when they got angry. So the most they would say, you know, Hudhaifa knows about what he reports. Well, I'm not going to corroborate this. I'm not going to contribute to this. Hudhaifa knows best about what he narrates. And then, O Salman ibn Salman. Ya Salman ibn Salman. That's the most they would say. So just like improve your language, because language is formative, transformative, informative. Language is not only expressive. Language is not only a medium of communication. It is transformative. The last hadith here is Haddathana ibn Abi Shayba. The last hadith in this chapter here is حدثنا ابن أبي شيبة قال حدثنا يحيى بن عيسى عن الأعمش عن حبيب عن سعيد بن جبير عن ابن عباس قال قال عمر اخرجوا بنا إلى أرض قومنا فخرجنا فكنت أنا وأبي بن كعب في مؤخر الناس فهاجت سحابة فقال أبي اللهم اصرف عنا أذاها فلحقناهم وقد ابتلت رحالهم فقالوا ما أصابكم الذي أصابنا قلت إنه دعا الله أن يصرف عنا أذاها فقال عمر ألا دعوتم لنا معكم. This hadith is ضعيف, but anyway, the meanings are acceptable. Ibn Abbas reported that Umar said, let us go out to the land of our people as we went out. You know, the ضَيْعَ أَنْ أَرْضَ قَوْمِنَا, it's basically you go out sometimes for recreation, you go out for work, and like going out, you either go out to the desert, you go out to orchards, and ضَيْعَ usually meant عِزْبَة in Egyptian. You know, عزبة in Egyption would be, in the translation, ضيعة would be عزبة. So they use ضيعة in Lebanon and Syria and Sham in general for what we use عزبة for. So like a property, a piece of land that's outside the territory, like outside the territory of the city that you go out to. So he said, so they went out, and as we went out, a cloud rose. Ubayy ibn Ka'b prayed, O Allah, avert its harm from us. When we reached the others, their belongings were soaked. They asked, did the harm not reach you as it did us? I said, yeah, but Ubayy supplicated to Allah to avert its harm from us. Umar then said, why did you not include us in your prayer? Why did you not include us in your prayer? I'm sorry, I got tired from the first class. First class was an hour and a half, so we will cut this a little bit short. And inshallah, next time we will start with Bab al-Khuruj ila al-Daya. Still, we're talking about going out to the countryside. قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. And we will take